This episode of IRM Today is brought to you by Single Source Disaster Recovery Specialists. From fire, smoke, and water damage to full reconstruction, 24-hour emergency response, and mold and asbestos removal. One call does it all. For more info, visit singlesource-usa.com.
Now on AM 790, it's time for IRM Today, the property management show with host Jason Martins. Join Jason for this live call-in show to discuss property management issues and hear from guests from all trades and programs discussing your real estate needs. Here's your host, Jason Martins.
All right, ladies and gentlemen, welcome back into IRM Today, the property management show. It's another gorgeous Tuesday.
Beautiful Tuesday. Beautiful.
As normal, right? I told you, every Tuesday, I'm telling you, you want to get married. Tuesday's the day to do it. It's like 97% of the time.
I'm convinced at this point you made some sort of deal with.
That's right.
Yeah.
No, with I made a deal with Elliot Abrams.
Right.
With Elliot Abrams.
Somebody, one of those people.
I called him up. I said, Elliot, listen, you know, I got a broadcast on Tuesdays. Can you do me a favor?
I call him E.
Oh, you call me. Oh, you guys are like that. You're that close. So I said, let's make a deal. On Tuesdays, I want it to be beautiful. I got a broadcast on Tuesday. I want a nice day. He said, all right, I'll make it happen for you.
Bam.
I said, okay. And bam, it's done. See that? You got to have connections in this business.
Apparently.
And you call Elliot Abrams. You tell him the weather you want. Boom, he makes it happen for
you. I'm on it.
That is my good friend Brett Ferruccio there, always making us sound good because God knows I can't do it by myself. You're listening to IRM Today, the property manager. That's why I bring Jack in. And then that's why I even upped our game, Jack, by bringing in these two right here.
The best. They're going to be the best.
I'm telling you right now.
The best.
It's unbelievable. We're moving up.
I'm your host, Jason
Martins. We're getting
Martins.
Up in the world.
That's it. We're getting better.
From this where is, we've been.
From when we started, I think we're getting there,
we're
Jack.
We're getting there. It's long. Look at, we got two beautiful young ladies here.
That's right.
Oh,
that
thank
is,
you.
Wow. Now the compliments are flying. I didn't hear them
the
say
sun
you're
is
handsome,
shining.
Though, Jack. So.
Well, we know different.
Very handsome.
So we have Jack Benz here, our chapter legislative chair, who is sitting next to me and always one of our very special co-hosts. And our two new co-hosts, which you guys all met last week. We have Dina Cimarelli, who from RentPath.com, right?
Yes.
And friend of IRM.
Yes.
And we have Chrissy Danielian, who I got
very
your name right.
Good.
Thank you very
yes.
much.
Whoa.
From Pacern, and she is an ARM. Now, for those of you who are tuning in for the first time and wondering what IRM stands for, IRM stands for the Institute of Real Estate Management. And IRM is the source of education and professional recognition.
The source.
The source, that's right. And professional recognition for managers of all types of properties.
Not only here in this country, but
global. It's a global organization. Now, here locally, we are the Greater Rhode Island chapter number 88. So we do have chapters all around the country and here locally, which sponsors this program. We are like I said, we are chapter number 88, and our website here locally is irmri.org. Now, State Representative Joe Sicacci, he's going to be our guest today, and he will be calling us in just about 10 minutes or so.
Yes.
He's going to be our guest on the air, and we'll be talking about all things here locally. We kind of touched on some of these things last week, Jack, with respect to the Superman building and continuing education, which is always an important something that's near and dear to your heart. And what else are we going to talk about? What? The
Workforce Rhode Island.
Workforce Rhode Island. Yeah. What else are we going to talk about, Jack?
You already mentioned the Superman building.
Superman building, yeah.
Talking about the CTE program, career and tech education.
Career and tech, yes.
Right? And we'll also talk about the election.
The election.
The elections.
Whoa.
And today is what day?
It is election day.
Today
that's
is
right.
primary day.
A lot of schools had their Chrissy, right? You're right, Chrissy. Dina.
Administrative Professionals Day.
I'm gonna have a tough time keeping up with all these names in here. I can't control
this
myself.
This is gonna be tough. But you got her name very good.
it's just
three,
two.
Four. If you count Brett. Right? My kids go to school in Lincoln, right?
Our kids go to school in Lincoln.
That's
yes.
right.
Until they had the school Professionals Day, and they thought it was a big party day, and I said, I'm sorry, I still have to work.
That's right.
So you have to go play by yourself today. So right. I just left him home.
Sometimes you got to do what you got to do.
What's wrong with the Beats? No good?
No good today.
The Beats aren't working. Okay, so we're back to the earbuds.
Back to the earbuds.
As long as you can hear the programming, that's okay.
One thing is your favorite subject.
Yes.
I know we want to touch on it, not too much, because I don't want to get you upset, is roadworks.
Ugh.
And what happened down the street here?
On
my way here.
Is it open?
On my way here.
They opened
I come
this
over
morning.
The bridge, the new bridge that was built in 80 hours.
It wasn't built in 80 hours.
No, it wasn't built in,
because they built it on the side, and then they just kind of slid it over. They knocked down. We're talking about Route 114. People call it the Wampanoag Trail. It is the Wampanoag Trail. The East Side Express, East Shore Expressway. And they redid the bridge over there.
But
and
this is just an indication of how it can work.
That's fine, Jack.
80 hours.
We want it to work. We want to repair bridges. Everybody agrees with that. That's fine. Don't toll us. No tolls.
Jason's favorite subject, tolls and roadworks.
Not necessary. The tolls are not necessary.
Are you in agreement, though, to toll the big commercial trucks or just not or nobody at all? Just everyday common.
It is a fallacy to say that we're only going to toll trucks. That is a lie. That is a myth. That will never happen. Okay. What will happen is they'll institute it, and as soon as the tolls go up, there will be a lawsuit, and the judge will say, you know what? They're right. You can't just target one industry in order to have these tolls up and toll them. You need to toll everybody. And then next thing you know, it's going to be on cars because that is the way it'll happen. Exactly. It is a myth that it was a selling point to get people to try to support it, which really in the end did not happen.
You can see Jason is a very, very adamant supporter of
He's passionate.
Tolls, passionate.
We
on
passionate. This
we
is passion.
We have a budget, a state
He's
budget
exuding it.
Of almost $9 billion in this tiny little place. There are much larger states than ours that have smaller annual budgets, and they fund their roads. I don't know how do they do it. Why do we need $9 billion? And we are already paying money to fix the roads. Why isn't it enough?
But you know why we need the road work?
Why?
Because we need the roads to get to the Superman building so that PayPal can get into
so
the building.
So PayPal, right? Any progress on PayPal coming in? We talked about this last week. Any progress on that, Jack? Any word?
No. Not to the best of my knowledge. No. I think they're still working on it. I think that even when they're working on it, that's a 350,000-square-foot building, and PayPal is looking at only taking about 60,000 square feet. So I think that it would be wise to look at other possible renters, lessors, all right, to take other spots of the building, because I don't think that PayPal going in there would be one of the ones that would renovate the entire building, which it needs. If you've been in the building at all, the sheer size of the building is daunting.
I would think that, though, the owner, if they can get a commitment from PayPal that they're going to occupy so much space that, because this guy's looking for funding, and he's gone to the state a couple times already, the owner, and Switcher. We're close. We're close.
But is he trying to get a grant because it's an historic building?
He was trying to get like tax credits from the state to renovate the building. He wanted $75 million, I believe.
There'd be two avenues he could take. One would be the state, one would be the feds, because it is a historical landmark. So, like they did with the hotel across from the State House, they did that whole building over for about $100 million, I think it was. And 50% of the building was done with either credits, state credits, and or federal credits. So the actual cost to do the building out of pocket for an investor was $50 million. And the state and the feds picked up the difference.
Well, this is what I'm talking about, is that if he can get PayPal to commit to say, all right, we're going to do long-term lease for this amount of space, so he's got to renovate the rest. I think at that point, now he can go to the state or other investors and say, listen, here's what I've already got this customer here. I've already got this client. I need the money to renovate the rest to maybe do apartment rentals, which
we
would like.
Housing,
you would like,
yes,
right?
Absolutely.
Or whatever it might be, maybe even more office space or some type of retail. He's already got some retail on the first floor with. No, he doesn't have retail. I'm thinking of the Paolino building next door. I'm sorry, but at that point, he's now got an attractive tenant in there, so he can go to investors or go to the state and say, listen, can you give me what I need now? Right? Would that make sense, Jack?
That would make sense. That would make sense. Depending on what the rents would be. Pre-unit, size of the units. There's a whole lot of dynamics to that to go into something like that to make it feasible economically and make the people appreciate the building as well.
Dina, what do you think a one-bedroom or two-bedroom luxury loft in that building would go for right in downtown? Any idea?
Yeah, I would say a one-bedroom would probably be anywhere from $1,500 to $1,700.
For a one-bedroom in that location.
Yeah, absolutely. Two-bedroom, definitely you're talking maybe $1,721 up. Yeah,
really?
Definitely.
See that?
$2,500 at least. The Regency now gets $1,800 to $1,900 for a one-bedroom.
Wow, see that?
But there's lots of cleanup in that area, too, in order to do something like that.
Right, especially right outside with the bus station and everything, right? A lot needs to be done.
Right.
Because you're going to try to market that apartment to someone, and you know, you're going to show it to them, yeah. And it's going to be like, hey,
what's going on path? Here? How do you take them on a showing? Like, oh, okay, here, just step right
Let's
over.
Let's walk around
this
the panhandle.
Oh, yeah, it's going to be a tough sale. It's going to be a tough sale.
All right, you're listening to IREM today, the Property Management Show. When we come back from this break, State Representative Joe Sakacci will be our guest. That's right, it's the final countdown to Joe Sakacci.
It's the final countdown. The final countdown.
That can only mean one thing. Oh.
Oh, my God. Who's here?
This is the theme song for a state rep, Joe Sakacci. He must be our guest on the line.
Must be.
Representative, how are you, sir?
I'm doing well, and always a pleasure to come on your fine show and talk to you nice gentlemen.
How you doing, Joe?
That was like three compliments.
Joe, I don't know. You're getting out of hand here. You know, now, we can't take these compliments.
Now, Representative, we have two new co-hosts of the program. We have Dina Cimarelli, and we have Chrissy Danielian. So why don't you say hello to them, too?
And my pleasure, ladies. To make your acquaintance, and you're lucky to be working with two fine guys.
We sure are. Oh, thank you.
That's number four.
Wow, he really knows how to work the crowd,
Joe,
doesn't he?
Are you up for re-election, Joe?
I am up for re-election, but I am fortunate enough to be unopposed, so unless there's a write-in candidate, I can't pretty much win by default this cycle.
Because you're doing such a great job. Seriously, you're doing a great job up there. You've been very helpful to the home builders. You've been very helpful to the CTE program. So, you know, some of those things we'll talk about in a moment.
Sure.
Jake?
Absolutely. Always a pleasure to come on your show, and you are right. That is my theme song. It's one of my favorites.
There you go.
So, Rep, a lot going on. Obviously, it's primary day today, and you said you're running unopposed. Let's talk about the election just quickly before we get into some of the other four-point topics. This election cycle is a little bit different than previous election cycles, where people did step up and put their names on the ballot to run against fellow representatives, and a lot of that had to do with the roadworks vote and to get that once you know that was voted on. I think a lot of people kind of went up in arms, and I think we talked about that last session, I guess, in the spring.
I will disagree with you. For the there are more people running, and that's true, but I don't believe roadworks is a catalyst that's doing that.
Okay,
you know, in my experience and my contacts and talking to my colleagues who are running for re-election and knocking on doors, and it's a very unscientific poll, but the reason is we have an awakening, and this is the reason in my humble opinion, an awakening of the progressive wing of the Democratic Party who feel very much empowered that Bernie Sanders actually won in Rhode Island. Not that he ran, but that he won, and he won with 56% of the vote. And they believe a lot of these primaries are generated from the left wing of the party, and they believe that they can't capitalize on it, and this is their time, and the mood is right, and the public is right. I respectfully disagree with that, and I think there will be some progressive candidates who will win, but I think overwhelmingly the more traditional, the more mainstream Democrat will win. And that's what's fueling a lot of the primaries. In addition to that, the Republican Party, although they don't say it, the Republican Party is split. There's a clear split within the party. And you have Republicans who are actually running as independents and Republicans who are running in Republican primaries, which is extremely unusual, but that is also generating elections and turnout.
Joe, with that being said, I guess there's some indications that I've heard the last couple of days that Hillary is somewhat in trouble in the state relative to where the polls are showing that she's only 2 points or 3 points ahead of Trump. Is that an indication that what you were just going through with regard to Bernie and his supporters and the split within the Republican Party that Hillary is
running? I'll give you my opinion, Jack. I think that, you know, with respect to Bernie Sanders and the people who voted for him, they think that they actually won and that people voted for Bernie Sanders. I don't believe that. I think people voted a certain amount of the Democratic Party, which is who we know is a dominant party in Rhode Island, voted against Hillary Clinton. It was a kind of a protest vote. And Bernie was the beneficiary of that. So I do think that, yeah, her numbers will be much lower than traditional Democrats will have had in Rhode Island in the past. But, you know, Paul Fongus, her husband Bill Clinton, Obama, Kerry, they all had strong numbers in Rhode Island. I don't think Hillary's numbers will be as strong because it's just a national following that she has or a national constituency who don't trust her. And what happens is when they don't trust a politician, either they don't vote or they don't vote for her.
So what you're talking about, now let's get back on the roadworks. It's not because of the roadworks you feel, but the roadworks, I think, is driving at least a few, maybe not all, of the what's happening in the state today relative to people running against and or for the roadworks projects.
No, Jack, I disagree. I think that certainly the Independent Truckers Association, who are great guys, and I understand it, and they feel like this bill harms their economic interest, and they want to exercise their right of, you know, the power of the ballot box, and I respect that, and I understand that. They are supporting some candidates who were against the tolls, and they're working against some candidates who were for the tolls. But I don't see them actually out recruiting people to run. And this has just been my experience, and although it's a statewide experience, it may be limited to some of the House races, colleagues who I talk to and check in with, and to the General Assembly in general. I just don't see that there are people who are running as a single-issue candidate just on tolls, or who are running only because of tolls. Now, there may be people who are running anyway and who are using the toll vote as a 38 Studios type vote or a litmus test vote, and that's always every time you run in a campaign and you run in an election, you know, people will use, which they should, every opportunity to get themselves elected. I do the same. I'm no different. Whatever the hot issue of the moment is, you take a stand on it. You presumably the populist stand, and you campaign on that issue. There's some people, very few, who are campaigning on that issue, but the overwhelming majority of people are not campaigning on road. It's not an issue, at least to the people I've spoken to, and that's quite many of them, who are on the doors, knocking on doors of the voters. And keep in mind, we're going to have an extremely low turnout. I know it's only 4:30 right now, approximately, yep. And no one can really predict the turnout, but everyone I've talked to throughout the day, campaigning for my colleagues in Warwick and other parts of the state, tell me the turnout could be a record low.
Well, let's go back. Wow. Let's look at a couple of other items. Workforce Rhode Island and the bond issue. I think that is an issue that I think is extremely important to us, especially sitting in the people sitting in this room, and I'm sure yourself, relative to the $50 million bond issue.
Sure, that's the, lack of a better word, the Rhode Island housing issue, the affordable housing issue.
Right, correct.
Yeah, but that issue, that bond issue, is not on the ballot until November.
I understand that. Mm-hmm. I understand that. But, I mean, these are one of the things we've got to start talking about now. November is only how many days away?
Whoa. 60 days.
Yeah. It ain't that long. I mean, if you don't start looking at it now, I think, and making
well, there's
your
a
move.
Kickoff. I think there's a kickoff this week by the proponents of the bill. I think it's Thursday, if I'm not mistaken.
2 o'clock.
Yeah, they're kicking off their campaign, and this is the time to do it. Right, you know, post primary, the field and the issues and the so-called, you know, political noise, the political debate will actually come down a couple of notches because the primary is over, and people will hopefully stop focusing on the big ticket items, the issues that affect all of Rhode Island, the bond issues. Don't forget, we have an issue regarding, you know, Tiverton and the casino in Newport. We have an you know, the ethics issue of install the ethics commission to have oversight over the General Assembly, which I think will pass overwhelmingly. There's a lot of issues that affect a lot of people, and that will raise the turnout. And plus, we have a presidential year, so those issues will help with the turnout in November.
You think the ethics thing is the ethics bill is going to pass?
Easily, absolutely, by the voters, absolutely. Over 60%, I predict.
You think so? Well,
yes.
That's interesting.
Mm-hmm.
My main concern for the $50 million bond issue is because of the affordable housing aspect of it. I know you guys divided, you divided into two sections. One is for $40 million, and the other $10 million is a special issue, okay, to go to a different area. But it comes out to basically the same way. I think that from the standpoint of affordable housing, I go to work in the morning and I come by, I must come by at least five different people that are standing on the sidewalks panhandling for dollars and saying they're homeless. So, and looking at that $50 million bond issue, that's like, if I compare it to what's happened in Massachusetts with $1.4 billion.
It's peanuts. It's a small amount.
So I think that from the standpoint of the legislature next year, all right, and the year after, should look at another issue in talking to the treasurer and looking at how do we expand the bond allocations that the state can allocate out. I think that's something we really got to look at.
I'm a proponent. I've always been a supporter of it, and I understand that with my colleagues there, but everybody has their own priorities, and it's a balancing act. You're right. We have to look at it and see what we can do. But clearly, this area needs more attention, more funding, and I support the effort, and the devil's in the details, though, Jack. We need to kind of balance that and see what else is going on in the state at that particular moment. But I was glad to get a $50 million bond issue. I would have loved to have seen it to be $100 million, but, the powers that be said, no, it's too much.
Well, we
couldn't
tried.
Afford it. And, well, we try. So that's the part. The art of compromise is the legislative process.
Well, you keep trying, and maybe next time, you keep pushing for it. So maybe you'll have results that will say they'll justify needing more. So maybe next time you're able to get it. I mean, who knows? You keep pushing it.
I think the governor was in favor of a larger bill, but she was kind of hamstrung with the allocations and the cap we had at the $250 million.
All right, you're listening to IRM today, the Property Management Show here on AM 790. We're talking to State Representative Joe Sakacci. And, Representative, you going to hang on with us for just another segment?
Absolutely.
All
play
right,
the music.
Terrific.
Play the music.
Play the music.
Play the music. Play the music.
Here we go. All right, you're listening to IRM Today. More when we come back right after this. All right, welcome back to IRM Today, the Property Management Show here on AM 790. I'm your host, Jason Martins, co-host with Chrissy Danilian and Dina Cimarelli.
Hello. Hey there.
Also in studio with us today is our chapter legislative chair, Jack Bentz.
How you all doing?
All right. In case you
I'm a southern person now.
Hi, y'all.
I'm a down dirty.
You got property down south, don't you?
Yes, we do.
Oh, you got all over the place. You got out west, you got down south, up north, you name it, you got
moving targets hard to hit.
That's right. In case you're tuning in for the first time, maybe just jumping in your car, or maybe you're still in the office, or maybe you just got home turning on your radio and you listen to AM 790 and you're wondering, well, who the heck are these guys? What are they talking about? What did he say?
What did he say?
He said IRM today. What does that mean?
What does IRM mean?
Well, IRM stands for the Institute of Real Estate Management.
What does that mean?
And it is the source, IRM is the source of education and professional recognition.
What's the recognition?
From managers of all types of properties. So,
what's the designation?
Well, I'll tell you what, if you become a member of the Institute of Real Estate Management, you can earn a couple very important designations for property managers. Number one, you have the ARM, which stands for what, Chrissy?
Accredited Residential Manager.
That's right. And you're an ARM, aren't you? I'm an ARM, too.
I kept my
designation. I carry both.
You got both of them?
I carry both of them.
You're a double dipper.
I'm a die double dip. I double dip the chip.
That's it.
like George Costanza. And the other designation, the very prestigious, is the CPM designation. That stands for Certified Property Manager. Now, Jack.
That's a Cadillac. That's a master's degree.
You love Cadillacs.
I love Cadillacs.
Right. That's why you got the CPM.
That's
like having a master's degree in property management, isn't it?
You got it.
And CPM
and what's
designation.
What's the other designation you have for companies?
Oh, well, you're talking about Friends of IRM?
No.
Oh, the AMO. Oh, you're talking about the AMO. Of course. The AMO, which stands for Accredited Management Organization.
And let me tell you something. HUD. Mm-hmm. A lot of agencies, a lot of major players in the mm-hmm. in the country, all right, Related Capital, all those companies, they look at AMOs as possibly being their management company.
That's right. So if someone who's got business, I think that they're going to go to the IRM website and maybe look for who's an AMO, because somebody who's got a little bit of cachet.
Somebody looked us up 2 weeks ago and we might get the management.
Is that
California?
See that? There you go. That's how it works.
California.
See, remember, I remember.
Huh? That's how it
see
works.
That? She's going to be good.
See that? Going to be good. Come on.
Come on now.
So that's how it works. That's what IRM brings to the table. And now here locally, we're the Greater Rhode Island Chapter Number 88. And you can find us online at IRMRI.org or give Karen a call. She's our account executive. And her phone number is 401-479-7734. Again, give Karen a call at Karen Cuddle. That's right. She's married to a very famous guy.
Very famous guy.
I mean, this guy's big time.
He used to work for me.
That's right. That's what made him big time.
That's right.
When you're talking about Bob I mean, you made him a superstar. I mean, you really did it.
Yeah, he made himself a superstar.
He made himself a superstar.
He did.
But give Karen a call at 401-479-7734 or visit us online at IRMRI.org if you have any interest in becoming a professional property manager. If you're looking for vendors like rentpath.com, right?
Yes,
they're our friends of IRM.
We are.
Or if you're looking for management organizations, you can find them on our website as well. Now, we are talking to State Representative Joe Sakacci. And Joe, Rep, welcome back to the show.
Always happy to be on.
All right. Now, we have a lot of topics. We're running short on time, so we want to make sure we get to as many topics as we can. We talked about roadworks. What else we got in the
list? Joe, what do you think about the Superman building and PayPal? We discussed that briefly at the beginning of the show. I don't know if you were listening or not, but I looked at it, and I know the governor is looking at PayPal, and they're only going to take, or they're looking at, if they are, 60,000 square feet in a 350,000 square foot building. Are there other possibilities or other feelers going out to look for other people besides PayPal? I assume there are.
The building, as we all know, is privately owned, and the gentleman who bought it with, you know, Bank America lease, and apparently they're in litigation, and it hasn't worked out for them, and we have to see what happens. But let's kind of divorce the two and then kind of bring them back together. I mean, everybody would love to have PayPal. They're great jobs. I don't want to use the word back office jobs, but they're pretty much back office jobs. They're in the $50,000 range.
That's not bad.
Great for Rhode Island. Mm. And you would want, who would not want to work for a fast-growing internet company that pays tremendous benefits, stock options and stuff like that? So I don't necessarily think that they need to be in a downtown location or a signature building. Mm-hmm. That, you know, if you're talking about $50,000 a year jobs, people are very concerned about parking, where it's going to be, easy access on and off the highway, etc. They may want to be somewhere in Smithfield or Johnston or Warwick, where there's an ample of staple of land available, that and buildings and vacancies that they could go there. And the people who take those kind of jobs, the millennials, they want to be where there's public transportation, where there's life experiences, where there's central location, where they can eat and drink and go to movies and do entertainment stuff close by. So there's a lot of options that present that in Rhode Island, not just the downtown
area. Well, the downtown has. I mean, you're talking about downtown, right? Am I right about that?
Yeah, absolutely.
Downtown has it, but a lot of other places have that those attributes as well. So the point is that they want to look and they want to be cost-effective. I don't know where it is. Now let's look at the Superman building. That presents a unique opportunity and or unique problem, depending on your perspective of how you look at it for Rhode Island. But it's a building that everybody, I think, would love to see filled with some kind of a business or a job, an opportunity for jobs.
What about apartments, Joe?
Well, we all talk about exactly housing. And what I think, Jack, and you know the business, and your show knows, and your listeners know the business probably better than most, is you need a mixed-use concept. I think that this is just my opinion, but I think the Superman building would best serve its highest and best use with a mixed-use mixture and sort of tenant base. Maybe some housing, maybe some office, maybe some retail shops.
On the lower level. Retail, some restaurants.
Retail that does food, retail that does FedEx or Kinko's or something like that, service the offices. And then maybe on the upper floors that have the beautiful view, maybe some apartment living.
So I think the ladies have a question for you.
Absolutely.
And what about the bus stop out front? I mean, what do you propose we do about that?
Well, the buses in Kennedy Plaza will be moving. So and that presents another unique problem. I mean, the Superman building could be a great opportunity for the right mixture of tenants. What those tenants are, what they are, I don't know. I suspect that you're not going to see much happen until the resolution of the lawsuit between the current owner and the former owner of Bank America.
Mr. Switzer?
Yes.
I actually think the millennials would prefer to live in Providence more so than a Smithfield or a Johnston.
There's a lot more to do.
Yeah, there's so much
Providence,
more urban living with all the micro lofts that are down there. You have the mall, you have the movie theater if you're going to talk about recreational. We have water fire. There's so many events in the city that I believe that even if they didn't have a car because there was lack of parking, I believe they can Uber their way around to wherever they need to go.
Millennials don't necessarily want cars anymore.
Yeah.
Am I right about
there's some smart cars down there that they can plug into and zip cars or whatever when they need to, but...
We have those things in Warwick also. Near the Warwick Mall, we have the Pontiac Mills, which is going through a massive rehab, and they have a mall across the street, they have movies across the street, and they have lots of stuff, and they have micro lofts they're building right now. Larry Silverstein from the Pontiac Mills Association is doing a great job over there. There's lots of other places, even in downtown Pawtucket.
So it sounds like you're pushing more for another location than the Superman building. Mm-hmm.
There are other places to put PayPal. That's the point I want to make.
There definitely is. But I think if you have people coming in who aren't from Rhode Island, who don't understand, you know, Warwick and Johnston and Smithfield, Providence is probably going to be where they're looking. It's the city. It's the heart of where you know, if somebody's coming relocating from another state to come work at PayPal, they're pretty much going to be looking in the city to live.
Joe, what do you think about the other development that's going downtown, down just outside of town, is the old U.S. Rubber building that Chris Starr and his group are putting in down there. So
just to make full disclosure, I've done legal work for Mr. Starr before. He's a
oh,
great,
my God.
He's a great developer. And it's an exciting opportunity, and he loves to see these mills to be rehabbed.
He's a great guy, Chris Starr. I dealt with him before.
That's a Brady property, isn't it, Brady Sullivan?
Brady Sullivan?
I don't know.
Yeah, I'm pretty sure that's a Brady Sullivan property.
That's U.S. I think that's Fane, the Fane property.
Chrissy, do you have a lot of millennials? Because you guys have Villa Nia down in Warwick, right?
Villa
Del Rio. Villa Del Rio, that's right. I'm sorry.
Yeah, I mean, I think
millennials that live, because that's right next to the Warwick Mall.
But I mean,
do they like living in that area? Or are they looking for?
I mean, I think that they're looking for a little more happening in, you know, like
Providence
is. Because
right next to the mall. If the mall has the movie theater.
Right, but Providence, there's way more going on in Providence than there is in Warwick or Johnston or Cranston.
With Villa Del Rio specifically, though, I just recently spoke with Jason from Precern. Because those are considered luxury apartments, even though I even asked this question, they're right outside of the mall. I said, oh, employees from the mall, do they live here? Is it convenient? They have the zip cars. He said, no, because they cannot afford the rent. So that particular property is not really suited for millennials.
Rep Sakachi, I mean, just to kind of wrap up that conversation about
Joe,
that.
Call me Joe.
I'm sorry, Joe. Yeah, Joe, you mentioned, you kind of mentioned that these jobs that PayPal is offering are $50,000 a year jobs, and they might not necessarily be able to live in downtown Providence, these employees.
More expensive.
Yeah, so they might be a little bit more expensive, right?
Joe, let's switch gears for a minute. Obviously, you know I'm involved in a CTE program.
Yes, very much.
And you know that, I don't know whether you know it or don't know it, but we had a meeting, a massive meeting last week, right, with the commissioner, Ken Wagner, Commissioner of Education. Obviously, Ride has a lot to do with the process that we're going through. And Congressman Langevin has also been an honorary member of this group that we formed. And it was about 60 people sitting around the table, teachers, school superintendents, school principals, people in the CTE trades. And you've been very supportive of this type of program. And there's some funding that's available that we're looking at going after. And, again, I think it's something that we need. We definitely need. We need but it starts in the lower grades. And I think education is one of your favorite subjects along with the governor. So I want to thank you for what you've done. But what do you see happening in this particular area?
I don't know what the future will hold, but I do know it's an important area. I know that, you know, we have like New England Tech School that's doing well, and I do think that we need to look at the trades.
That's where we held the meeting, in New England Tech.
Okay, well, there you go. I was out of the country, so I don't know about the meeting. But the point I'm making is we need to look at alternatives so that people, not everyone's going to go to a 2 or 4 year college, and everyone's going to get a college degree, nor should they. Other people have skills, and they can live a very, successful life or practice or business in the trades, and we need that, and that's what's happening.
It's good for middle America. I think we've got to take a break close to it, and then we'll come back.
Yeah,
I want to talk about it more.
Rob, we're going to take a quick break right here. Can you hang on just for about a few more minutes when we come back from the other end?
Okay, but I do have to leave before 5 o'clock.
Mm-hmm. Oh, we'll get you out of here.
Okay, let's hang on then for a few more minutes.
Okay.
Let's stay with them for a few more minutes then before. Because we want to make sure we can maximize the time. Go ahead, Jack.
I know you're out of town and overseas, and I had called you before and to let you know about the meeting, but the amount of enthusiasm that we had at that meeting was unbelievable, and everybody seems to be on board. You know, we got legislation passed because you were in favor of it and you voted for it, along with a number of other people, and the speaker was in favor of it. So I think it's something that we just have to look at, and we have to keep the momentum going. Because if we let it go, I think this is an opportunity that we'll lose, and I think we all lose. The dollars that we're talking about relative to middle America, this is middle America where we're talking about it.
Sure.
All right, and we got Gilbain. Billy Gilbain is involved in it now from Gilbain Company, Terry Regan. All right, John Simmons. All right. So, I mean, there's a lot of enthusiasm, and when I took my turn at the podium in speaking, I said, I hope when we leave this meeting that this just is a meeting where we all kumbaya and then we leave and forget about it. With that being said, we have another meeting coming up in October 4th, I believe it is, and we hope to have the same group of people there. And by the way, during the course of that meeting lasted almost 2.5 hours. And you know what? Nobody left. Not a soul left. And everybody gave their input, and notes were taken, and curriculums are going to be designed around a statewide curriculum that's uniform. So I think it's something we have, and I think it's a good thing we got going.
Well, I hope it happens. I applaud your efforts. You've been on the forefront of this for a long time. You recognize that this is the future, that we need to have a skilled workforce so that when companies want to come in here, that we have the ability to build whatever they need, that people can graduate, whether it's through apprenticeship programs or through a formal college education. But they need to be trained and skilled for their safety as well as our safety. And plus, we have all this new technology that's coming. We have all these LEED certified buildings, and we have to have green energy and solar and wind, and we need to have people who know what they're doing.
And we're building submarines.
Yeah, we're building submarines.
Electric
we're,
Boat was there. The lady that hires and fires people for Electric Boat, she's a vice chair with me.
And if I'm not mistaken, Electric Boat has a shortage of skilled workers, welders.
Definitely.
And other people they're looking for, constantly hiring them.
And Joe, I mean, but just speaking from property manager's perspective, it works hand in hand. We need plumbers. We need electricians. We need
HVAC.
HVAC guys. We need those people. And with all the rental property here in this state and property managers, it works hand in hand because we're constantly looking. And we have this conversation all the time. Oh, I need a new HVAC guy. Who are you using for an electrician? Because there aren't enough people out there. So getting Rhode Islanders trained with these skills benefits everybody because we're looking for them. We're looking for these people.
Skilled craftsmen are now retiring, and the average age of a electrician, a plumber, HVAC individual, be it male or female, between 55 and 65. We don't have much time.
That's true.
We don't have much time, so we better get our act together.
All right, State Representative Joe Cercacci has been our guest. We want to thank you so much for being with us. And definitely, we'll want to talk to you again maybe down the road, right?
Absolutely. Thanks, Joe. We really appreciate it.
Surprise you with a little bit more notice and come and be an in-studio guest.
Oh, that would be great.
Oh.
I get to meet the lady.
You will. That'd be fantastic.
Hey, listen to me, Representative Cercacci. If you would have been in the country, all right, I would have asked you. I had a call on you a week and a half ago.
All right.
So
well,
you're outside the country. We'll let you go this time. But next time, you're going to come in here, right?
Okay.
Perfect.
You
got it. All right. Well, thank you very much for coming on and speaking with us. And you're listening to IREM Today on 790 AM and more when we come back.
Now back to IREM Today, the property management show with your host, Jason Martins, on AM 790, your station for talk and business.
It's 4:54. Welcome back to IREM Today. I'm Chrissy Denalian. And I have Jay Martins here, obviously, and Dina Cimarelli, Jack Bentz. What an interesting topic that we just came off of with Representative
You didn't seem
Cercacci.
To like the his comments on millennials.
Yeah.
No, I mean, I think that, I don't know if I exactly agree with him and his assessment of millennials in Providence and how they might enjoy other cities. I mean, it's great for those cities that they might go to, but
and Providence. I'm sure he's obviously partial Warwick, and
we
appreciate that.
Yeah.
But
I would think that Providence is a good city for millennials, though.
I think it's
a great easy to get around.
The food,
it's amazing.
The food. Oh, yeah. Now
the
we're talking.
I know. My son lives in Denver, and he loves it in Denver. Downtown.
All
right.
Oh.
And
well,
I know
that's
that,
where it is.
My partner's son loved living in the city. He hates living outside. He lives outside the city now. He loves sitting right down with the old Pillars building that was renovated. He used to have an apartment down there.
Oh, yeah.
That's great apartment.
That's
a beautiful down
Cornish
there.
Cornish Group owns those. Buff Chase.
Mm-hmm.
He redid
sure.
all those over.
Yeah.
And those are really gorgeous units. And people love living in the city. There's so much to do. You have PPAC. You have the repertory theater. You have all the restaurants.
You have clubs, lounges.
You
have the movie theater.
Yeah.
It's fantastic.
Oh, and they don't like to cook, let's be honest.
The millennials are a different world. I like living in the country where it's quiet because I'm a little bit older. The millennials, they love where the action is.
Well, I think when you start.
I'll give you one story. My daughter lived in New York City.
Mm-hmm.
Before she went to New York City, we lived in Cumberland, where it was... couldn't find anybody after 7 o'clock. I went to New York. I couldn't stand it. The noise, the all night long.
Totally different.
She's totally sleeping. It was like beautiful. She didn't. She loved it.
Well,
in fact, she still lives in New York.
You know what people are going to love, though, Jack?
What's that?
Because you said it. Right? You know what people are going to love? Our New England Conference and Trade Show.
Yes.
Absolutely.
This is going to be big time,
first
right?
Annual.
Huge.
First
annual.
Yes.
Where is it?
It is
in
happening
Mystic.
In Mystic, Connecticut.
Wow.
And it is happening on, what is it, Tuesday? No, it's a Thursday.
It's a Thursday.
It's a Thursday, September
23rd.
22nd. Oh, I don't even know what I'm talking about, do I?
22nd. Come on, we'll give you a little bit of help here, ladies. Come on, a little bit of help.
And this is terrific. There are going to be speakers at this event. Now, this is open to anyone, but especially if you're in the property management business, you have to attend to this.
Yes.
You have to be there. There are going to be speakers talking about various topics, including what's happening in the world of utility deregulation, marijuana, current and federal state laws regarding that. There's going to be, we're talking about technology, iPhone apps. There's a session on disaster planning. Mm-hmm. You name it. I mean, we have a keynote speaker.
We're going to have a lot of vendor booths.
We're
going to be...
The ladies are going.
We're going to be there live.
That's right. We're going to be broadcasting live live on Facebook. Is this right?
Yeah,
we're
Facebook live and air live at the show.
These ladies are bringing us big time.
Yes.
Hey, this is huge.
Connected.
Bringing millennials into this thing.
Out of state.
So
millennials. I wish I was a millennial.
I'm not a millennial.
I'll tell them I'm a millennial.
I'm a Gen Xer, man. You're a millennial, Jack.
I'm so far behind a millennial.
All right. Now, if you missed any part of the program or you want to hear the interview with Representative Shikachi again, make sure you subscribe to us on iTunes. Just look for IREM Today. That's IREM Today on iTunes. And you can listen to our whole, we have a whole library available on iTunes. Or go to our website, iremri.org. Scroll over IREM Today and podcasts. And you can listen to our entire history of all our episodes right on there. All right, ladies, good job.
Thank you.
You guys learned the ropes a little bit?
A little
bit.
We
are. Looking forward to it.
One day at a time.
They're going to be pros by the time
we're back next week.
Jack, you're going to be a pro by the time we're done.
I doubt that.
All right, have a great time.
This episode of IREM Today is brought to you by Single Source Disaster Recovery Specialists. From fire, smoke, and water damage to full reconstruction, 24-hour emergency response, and mold and asbestos removal. One call does it all. For more info, visit singlesource-usa.com.